Welcome to UK Perspectives. I'm guest host Julie Rinn, director of the Kentucky Women Writers Conference, taking place on September 20 through 23. Founded at UK in 1979, the Women Writers Conference is the longest-running event of its kind in the nation, and food writing is one of our themes this year. My guest today is Stella Parks. She graduated from the Culinary Institute of America in 2002 and now works at the Lexington restaurant Table 310. This year, Food and Wine magazine named her one of America's best new pastry chefs. She writes for Gilt Taste, Serious Eats, and her own blog, Brave Tart. Her first book, Sweet Truth, The Secret History of Iconic American Desserts, will be published by Norton in 2014. Stella, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Stella is teaching two seminars at the Women Writers Conference this year, and one of them will be on, it's called Cooking a Book. Stella, can you tell us how you made the leap from food blogger to cookbook author?
Absolutely. It kind of happened to me a little bit by surprise. I've been blogging for about a year, and via Twitter, I'd had a conversation with Kinji Alt, who is the food lab on Serious Eats, and he asked me if I'd have any interest in writing for Serious Eats from time to time, and this was a huge shock. I mean, Serious Eats is a big website, and they have about 6 to 7 million unique visitors a month, so it's no small potatoes. And I was really excited to do it, and it turned out to be a weekly column rather than just an occasional one-off. And after I'd been blogging for Serious Eats for about 6 months, I got a phone call from Ed Levine, who's their founder. And he is, if you're not familiar with him, Ruth Reichel has called him the missionary of the delicious. And he's a former New York Times columnist, a really award-winning food writer, and an all-around amazing guy in the industry. He called me up and said that he really enjoyed my column, which was a huge shock to me. I didn't imagine he was involved in any of the day-to-day aspects of Serious Eats. I thought he probably just was the overlord from afar. At any rate, he said I should be thinking about writing a book, and he introduced me to his literary agent, conveniently also his wife, and she and I hit it off, and I signed an agency agreement with her. And we started working together to write a book proposal, which she then later sold to Norton.
Well, that doesn't happen very often. That only happens to really terrific writers, in fact. And that's why we're so excited to be having you at the conference. And I can't let your mention of Ruth Reichel go by without mentioning that she is our keynote speaker this year. And we'll be giving a keynote address on Saturday night, September 22nd, on Eating Our Words. But my next question for you, Stella, is you have a niche as both a writer and a pastry chef, and it seems to me that finding one's niche is a very important part of success in so many fields. How would you describe your niche or specialty?
I think when it comes to both my food writing and the desserts that I make, I really try and focus on things that are evocative of childhood memories and nostalgia. A lot of the modern restaurants you see in restaurants in New York and Chicago, the desserts tend to be architectural and highly composed. Sponge sugar garnishes and little precious drops of very distilled essences. And that's really good. I mean, they're very interesting and delicious, but they're more thought-provoking than they are something you can sink your teeth into. And so I tend to kind of look at what's going on and head the opposite direction. So I really wanted to make desserts you could sink your teeth into and that were really satisfying and that you didn't just eat them and say, oh, that was really interesting flavor, that you would instead say, oh, this makes me think of when I was at my grandmother's house as a little kid, and just stir up something that you'd forgotten or, you know, provoke some memory, food memory that we have. You know, we all have those things, and taste and smell really take us back quickly. So I'm very focused on that.
I guess it was the French novelist Proust who is famous for first capturing that connection between aroma and memory, and that is certainly something we hope to explore more in the conference this year. Stella, what is your writing process? What kind of research are you doing for this book of yours that's coming out in 2014?
I'm doing a ton of research, predominantly in 19th century cookbooks, all American. The concept of the book is iconic American desserts. And so as a result, I'm leaving out really obvious things that you might expect to see there. Apple pie will not be in the book because it's essentially the least American dessert in the pastry canon.
Really?
It was brought over by all the Europeans who settled in America. You know, the French have their famous apple tart, and Germans have apple strudel, and the Irish and English have apple pies as well. So really, it was a very familiar thing for the settlers in the beginning, and that's how it became to be so ubiquitous. But it's not unique. In fact, there weren't even apples in America until the settlers brought over apple trees to start their own orchards. So instead, I'm focusing on things like Oreos. Invented in Manhattan, completely iconic, classic. They've been around for over 100 years, so even the oldest of us alive today can't remember a life without Oreos. So these are the desserts that I'd like to focus on, maybe a new generation of iconic American desserts, and not just things like Oreos, but also red velvet cake, another classic example. You're not going to find anything like that elsewhere in the world unless it was brought over by an American.
Now, when you look at these iconic American desserts, are you updating the ingredients, the techniques, neither, both?
Yes, neither and both. In some cases, it's about getting to the original recipe. I'm currently researching fudge, which is very American dessert. And in the original recipe that I found from 1879, which predates anything that people have been saying is the quote-unquote original recipe, it's much more simple than fudges we have today. And in that case, I would like to get back to the original recipe, sort of reintroduce it to Americans and say, this is the recipe that started the craze. This is what caused people to go crazy over fudge at the turn of the century, 19th to 20th century. And then in other cases, looking at red velvet cake, that recipe essentially gained popularity thanks to a dye company that was selling red food coloring. So it came to popularity through marketing, and as a result, I wouldn't say that red dye is a very pure ingredient. It was added strictly to boost sales and strictly to sell a product. And since I'm only concerned with the deliciousness of a food and how evocative it can be of our own memories of red velvet, then the dye isn't necessarily an important part. I use red wine, for example, in this, mm-hmm. and it serves a similar role to buttermilk that you would see in a classic red velvet recipe. It provides acidity, it rounds out the chocolate flavor, it helps it make it red, and it gives it a very delicious flavor that you would never think of as red wine. Anyone who would try it would say, this is classic red velvet, but you can lose the dye.
That is fascinating. Well, such creativity in your the recipe creation process that seems so similar to the writing process, and I really think that at the conference this year, we're going to see how closely intertwined those two are. One other session that you are doing for us this year is called 140 Characters. You acquired a fan base through being a really great tweeter in many ways. At least I've been following you for quite some time, and I think you're going to share some tips on that for other people. Everybody tweets these days, but not everybody does it well. Can you give me an example or two of what some of your advice is to you know, do a good job on Twitter?
I think when you're on Twitter, it's really important to identify your goals. If you're just on Twitter to keep up to date with some of your favorite chefs or restaurants and just get updates and things, you know, there really doesn't need to be any strategy there. You can just follow who you like and tweet what you like and just be yourself. But if you're trying to use Twitter to further your career, then it's really important to identify the types of people you should be following. You know, for example, following someone who's an intern at a publishing house. That could be a really great foot in the door for you someday to kind of strike up a friendship with someone who's lower on the totem pole, and then as they climb up, you know, if you hit it off with them. And this is all completely built on having an actual relationship via Twitter, you know, where you're not just gratuitously tweeting this person mechanically, that you have to, you know, notice what they're tweeting about and ask them questions and respond to their questions when they ask one. And by engaging them in this way, you can make a legitimate connection in the industry. And so far, the overwhelming number of opportunities that I've had have all come through Twitter. My writing gig for Serious Eats and Guilt Taste both came directly through Twitter conversations. Last year, I spoke at Federated Media's Food Buzz Fest, and that also came about through a Twitter connection. So by knowing the right people and engaging them, you can really have a profound effect on your career. At least I've found that to be the case.
Well, that sounds like it's going to be a terrific session at our conference. Both of Stella's seminars will be on Saturday afternoon, September 22nd, at the Kentucky Women Writers Conference. These sessions take place at the Carnegie Center in downtown Lexington. And for more information, you can visit our website, which is www.kentuckywomenwriters.org, or give us a call at 859-257-2874. Our guest today has been Stella Parks. Our complete UK Perspectives interviews are available at wuky.org. For WUKY, I'm Julie Rinn.